This is the world broadcast of Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to truth and justice. And now we present Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Honorable radio audience, we greet you with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
The following is part three of a special Jummah address in Chicago, Illinois, by Mujaddid Wallace Deen Muhammad on Friday, December 8th, 1978.
Nature that embrace all men is black, meaning that it mystifies us. It mystifies us. It gives us fear. And that's the beginning of faith. Mystery and fear is the beginning of faith. When you know you don't know, you begin to get faith in something that can teach you. And when you fear, then that's a good start toward submission. So nature, the original nature, created by God, is first. Then upon that, developed out of that, and upon that is established faith. And then out of the faith are established what? Principles. And the principles said to do what? Give us knowledge. Yes. Science has established now that out of the bones come blood. Blood. The blood that carries the food for the whole body, and the blood that also carries messages to the different parts of the body with the help of the chemical, what they call it, the nervous system. The chemical nervous system. With the help of that nervous system, with the blood, messages are carried throughout the body. Yes. So there's the blood of the animal and the blood of the man. The blood of the animal is base passion. The base passion. The blood of the man is what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Says that the blood is the life of the body. What is the life of our body? Knowledge. But that blood also contains what? Water. Our knowledge must have water. Must have faith. Faith and knowledge combined is our knowledge. We don't want knowledge without faith. No. Knowledge without faith is no good. It's no knowledge. We want knowledge with faith. Take the water out of the blood and it becomes dead. Is that right? Take the water from the blood, it's dead. It becomes dry like a powder. Dry like a powder. But give it the water, then the blood comes to life. And the blood can then move. It can travel the arteries and carry out its purpose, and that is to carry life to all parts of the body. Not to one part, all parts of the body. Is that right? Yes. Yes. It is written of the Christ, he come not of water only, but of water and blood. There are some people who want us to have all water and no blood. They don't want us to have any of the red powder that is mixed with the water. They want us to say, thank you, Jesus, and have the Holy Ghost, and live in darkness. Was that Jesus' purpose? No, not according to the scripture. He didn't come to give the people just water. John the Baptist was giving them water before Jesus. And Jesus is supposed to be another step forward. He walked out in front of John the Baptist to carry the mission further. Is that right? John the Baptist was at one position, at one point, baptizing people in water. And according to their scripture, when Jesus came to be baptized, he felt himself out of place. John the Baptist felt out of place to baptize Jesus, which is just one of the many things that point to the advanced level that Jesus represents in relationship with John the Baptist. For a world that give us all water baptism and no knowledge cannot be the world of Jesus the prophet, because it is said in their own book he came to of not just water but of, and his baptism is not the baptism of John. The baptism of John is water, faith. The baptism of Jesus, according to their own book, is knowledge. And knowledge acts as a fire among those who reject it. It burns them. But it works as a light and a warmth for those who love it. Those who love the fire, they feel the light of it. They see the light of it, pardon me. They see the light of it, and they feel the warmth of it. Oh, fire is a loving, is a grace from God for them. But those who reject it, the light blinds them. The heat burns them. It is a torment for them. Yes. Well, the book says that Jesus came of both faith and knowledge. Faith and knowledge. Why was he baptized? To show that they come in a certain order. Knowledge doesn't come before faith. Faith comes before knowledge. So Jesus had to be baptized to put the thing in the proper perspective. Then after he was baptized, he began his mission. And he didn't appeal to the blind faith of the people. He appealed to their good senses. He pointed to the logic in the issue. Well, here is an issue. Let's look at the logic in the issue. And see, are those who follow blind tradition, empty rituals, talk without any more favor. Let's see, are they right, or is judgment right? The judgment of God is based upon truth. Yes. So he came to test them with logic. Is that right? Oh, yes. And many of them couldn't stand up under the test. This was against their whole world. He came following the plan of God, and the world was being ruled by the scheme of Satan. And Satan couldn't stand him in their world. So Satan then had to substitute Jesus by putting before the people a lie. Yes. So they substituted the truth that Jesus brought for their own lie. And retrogressed the world again. Put the world back in blind faith. Put the world back in blind faith. And as it is said by Jesus himself, it is expedient that I go away, For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Says that God will send you another Comforter, a Comforter even greater than I. How do we know the Comforter that comes is greater than Jesus? He said, if you blaspheme the Son, it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven. And he said that I am not my Father's equal. And he said, I repeat, that if you blaspheme the Son, it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Who is this Holy Spirit that he was pointing to as another Comforter coming? The Holy Spirit came to his mother, and he himself was a product of the Holy Spirit. That was one Comforter coming as a Holy Spirit. But he said, God will send you another Comforter, another one like myself, because he himself was born of the Holy Spirit, according to their doctrine. And he said that God will send you another Comforter. And he said of that one, that if you blaspheme me, it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme that one that's to come, it will not be forgiven. Why is it forgiven that we blaspheme Jesus? Because knowledge without understanding permits mistakes. Jesus represents knowledge. But when understanding comes and you blaspheme knowledge with understanding, there is no excuse for you. Yes. Now can't you see that Prophet Muhammad is the fulfillment? That he is the last? That Jesus pointed to him? Jesus represented knowledge. That knowledge is coming. And you will crucify it, but it will be resurrected. And you will see in time that your crucifixion was not actually a crucifixion of the knowledge, but was a substitution. You substituted the knowledge for your lie. For Allah says in the Quran, neither did they kill him nor crucify him. They did not kill him, and they did not crucify him. But it was made to appear to them that way, because they had substituted, put in that in the place of Jesus, their false Christ. Yes. So how can a Muslim now keep his Christian mind, knowing that Jesus was only knowledge? And the book says, above all, get an understanding. Jesus was knowledge without understanding. Prophet Muhammad is knowledge with understanding. The name of the Quran, Al-Bayan. Al-Bayan. Clear expression. Clear expression. Evident book. On the power of what? It's clarity. It's clarity. Yes. But how can you get understanding if you have lies between your vision and understanding? Don't you see now that understanding came and the world did not see it? Because the lie was still between their vision and the understanding? Knowledge came and they rejected it? Because their intentions were impure? Their intentions were not for the scheme of the knowledge, but was for the scheme of their politics. So they rejected it. Then understanding came in Prophet Muhammad, and many embraced it, but a greater number refused it, rejected it, said they couldn't see it, because there was the obstruction of lies between them and the object that they were trying to see. So there is another scheme that has to be completed. even after the coming of Prophet Muhammad. And what is that? The battle with lies. We have to fight the battle with lies. We have a war with lies. And until we beat down the wall of lies, we will not see the light of understanding in the world. But Prophet Muhammad comes and he gives us the tools of war. Tools of knowledge and clear understanding. And God blesses us with faith. And we pick up those tools and we go to war against the lies of the world. And as we fight and become victorious over the lies of the world, then the people of the world will see more and more the Quran, the clear light of truth that establishes understanding for us. Yes. Says, get knowledge, but above all, get an understanding. And they are convinced that the lie is the truth, they'll never come to understand it. Some of us, we'd like to pick up a gun and fight a battle with a gun. Some of us want to fight with bricks, a club, a fist. The contests in the world, brother, have been upstaged from that pettiness thousands of years ago. Don't go at it that petty way. The most sophisticated plane of warfare is the battle of words. The battle of words. And Jesus was a sign that that's the way to fight. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word took on flesh. And eventually that Word judges the people. Is that right? Yes. Punishes them. The Word will punish them. Judge them and punish them. The word will conquer them. The Word will establish itself over them, in spite of them. Yeah. So this is a high plane of battle, brother. Satan laughs at the fist fight and the hot lead throwing. He laughs at that. You help the economic budget when you fight that way. A few less to feed. You don't hurt Satan when you start killing each other physically. But wake up to these things. Prophet Muhammad, lastly, Prophet Muhammad said, that in the end, he and Christ Jesus will be seen together. Shouldn't knowledge and understanding be together? And it is written that he will lead Christ Jesus in prayer. Shouldn't understanding go before knowledge in prayer? Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the God and the Evolver, the Cherisher and the Sustainer of all the world. Peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed as guidance, universal guidance, for all people and all times to come. Peace be upon his companions, Peace be upon his descendants and his companions and the righteous, all of them, and upon us here and throughout the world. Dear beloved Muslims, in the final words of this khutbah, I want to point to the place of symbolism in our daily life and the weight of that symbolism in our daily life to bring more ease, peace, and understanding to this community. Some are now of the opinion that the woman's hair, if it's not covered, is a sin, that her hair should be covered at all times in public life. It is good to cover the hair when you are meeting the public or doing things with the public, the sisters, because usually the sister accepts to be a mother if the occasion requires it. If we are having some public meeting, or we are having some activities somewhere, or we are at a business, when lunchtime comes, the sister, her mother instinct, make her feel that I must now serve them coffee or tea or rolls or dinner or soup, whatever. Now, isn't it better for you to have your hair covered than to drop your hair into our soup? Yes. So let's look at it from a scientific point of view. From the hygiene and scientific point of view, it's better for the sister to cover her hair in public life, because you never know when you are going to be called upon to serve us some soup. Now, if you like to keep it ready, quick draw McGraw. And whenever that duty is to be performed, you wrap your hair. That's okay. It's okay. Now, some of them think, I'm an imam. If he was really an imam practicing the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, he would have his hair wrapped up. This is the wrong time for wrapping my hair. I want you to see that I lose my hair. It gets bald. See, it's thinning out. And I want you to see that. If I kept my head wrapped, you would never see that I'm losing my first hair. I don't want to hide this. Not now. The wrong time. And I hope there'll never come a time again when we'll have to hide the fact that we lose the first hair. First knowledge is weak. Revelation is strong. No point in hiding it. Now, the sister's hair. Why was it so important that she cover her hair? A sign, that's all. A sign. When the sign has no more use, throw the sign away. The sister represents society. She has been used as a symbol representing society, nations, business concerns, cooperation, any body of people devoted to one particular job or one particular thing, tied to one particular thing. Now, women were used to represent that. Yes. Why the women had to have the veil? Because the ancient people put the veil on them as a sign that the faith of the world's knowledge is not permitted to be viewed by the common people. The common people are not allowed to look at the faith of the knowledge that rules the society. Are we following that scheme now? Should Muslim women wear veils? No! ISIS wore a veil. The ancient goddess in ancient Egyptian religion, she wore a veil. And the Jacobite women before Prophet Muhammad came, were wearing the veil. They had picked up the trick from ISIS. Well, our women shouldn't wear veils. Or we shouldn't show our beauty to the public. What about your ugliness?
Tune in next week for the continuation of this special address.
Following is part four of a special Jumu'ah address in Chicago, Illinois, by Mujaddid Wallace Dean Muhammad on Friday, December 8th, 1978.
A society can't progress without leadership. A society can't judge itself without leadership. So how are you going to know what to do and how to apply this religion if you don't first establish an imam that you have faith in? Establish an imam that you have faith in. And then don't go blindly weaving through the bushes in the dark. Yes. And I tell you that because that's the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him. He said, obey those who are in authority over you. Not only Allah and His Messenger, but also those who are placed in authority over you. And again, he says that God will send a witness. And he said God will raise up an imam after him. There will be imams. There will be witnesses. Can you be a witness if you haven't seen? A witness is one who has seen for himself. And God says to his prophet that he will raise up witnesses. He will raise up imams. He will raise up mujaddids to renew and revive the knowledge that he came to us with. Not to change it. Renew means bring back what was there before. If I renew something, I bring back the newness that was there in the beginning. Doesn't mean to change it. So how are we going to progress, dear people? With everyone wanting to go in his own direction? With everyone wanting the equal blessing? Every issue has been dealt with in the book. Isn't it written in the book? There are among the people those that won't believe until a holy Quran, a scroll, come down from heaven into their own hands. Yeah, he got his, but I ain't gonna follow it till I get mine. So if anybody gets the truth, it's not his, it's God. And if you want something else, you'll never get it. Not from God. Yes. Let us understand that. And again, isn't it written that God will raise up a teacher? up a mu'allim for the people. So if you are your own teacher, then you're not following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad and the Quran. The Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad says that God will raise up witnesses, imams, mujaddids, and teachers. Understand your relationship with everything, not just with me. Understand your relationship with everything. If you're in a relationship with something, understand that relationship. You won't. Get the best of it if you don't understand it. And Allah has taught us through His Holy Prophet to respect everything for its worth and because God is the creator of it. Respect everything. Nothing is to be disrespected. And how do we know the levels of respect? We have to know the worth of the thing. Then we know the levels of respect. You can't place an inferior thing over a superior thing. Some of us say, well, I'm just as important as he. I have just as much right. I have just as much authority. Because Allah says that there are no big eyes and no big views. That He's not judging us by knowledge. He's judging us by our faith. By our reverence, respect of Him. Certainly that's true. But how can your faith in God be right and your selfishness is denying you the opportunity to progress in the path of knowledge? Well, your faith is not right. If your faith is right, everything else will be right. If your reverence of God is right, then everything else will be right. It was necessary for Prophet Muhammad to tell us something else. Says the best of you is a taqum. Is the most pious of you, the most reverent, the most respectful of you before God. But he also said, the best of you is the most useful to his society. Not that the first is not true, the first is true. But the most reverent before God will also be the most useful to the society. But this has to be, fortified. Because that one thing may break down. If we say it's based upon piety, reverence before and obedience to God, that may break down because we may establish our own definition for piety. Is that right? Although the definition is established in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, says righteousness is not turning your faces east or west, but righteousness is in what? Oh, belief in God, His messengers, the book, doing good, etc., etc. Righteousness is a whole body of principles. Is that right? Not in rituals, not in formalities, not in just saying. The lip service counts for nothing in Islam unless it is carried into practice. Is that right? Those who speak with their mouths charm people with their speeches, flowery speeches, while in their heart is nothing. So the pious can fool us if we are not careful. So we have two great hadiths on this particular thing, on this particular problem. Says the best of you is the most pious before God. And it says also the best of you is the most useful to his society. Right. me see, what have you done to regenerate the nation of Islam? Do you have an equal contribution for the regeneration of the nation of Islam? Did you bring the nation of Islam from its darkness, from its un-Islamic characteristics, to the world community of Islam, or to a part of this great world community of Islam? Have you opened the eyes and shown the way through the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad? Are you bringing ease into the life of the people by removing darkness and confusion from the mind? Allah is doing that through a certain one among you. Now, if your contribution is not equal to his, then the best of you is the most useful to the society. Why should I have to tell you these things? It's embarrassing for me to tell you these things. But you are people more hickory-headed than the rebellious people that followed Moses to Mount Sinai. Yes, that's why I have to talk to you like this. Sometimes I wish I was at a mountain so I could roll some stones down on you. In fact, the stones fall, but they don't even feel the stones hit them. Let us wake up for the good of our own selves. And if we have faith in God, sacrifice that is not accepted by God. And Allah does not accept arrogance, jealousy, envy, selfishness, self-indulgence. Allah doesn't accept those things from us. Let us remember that the great prize in the end of the road for the Muslim is reached by gradual steps. No one flies to the prize. We walk to the prize. The path of God is a path to be walked. We don't fly it. And it begins with what? Purity of intention. Purity of intention. Making your heart right. Allah says never will He change the state of a people until they first change the state of their heart. Change the state of your heart and God will change the state of your life. This is the teachings of Allah, the most glorified one, that you will not be helped until you first make up your mind to get rid of that evil in your heart. You have to make room in your heart for the blessings of God, because He first gives it to the heart and then to the mind. Isn't that right? Yes. And remember that cleanliness is next to godliness. This is a saying of the Christian world. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You can't come to God with filth on your mind, with filthy hands. You intend to be perverted. Your hope is to stay corrupted. How can you expect to be helped by God? Clean yourself up. Make your intentions right. So we have what? Inniyah. Before we begin our practice, our act of devotion to God, we begin with the name of God and we ask Him for His help. We declare our intention that we are about to clean ourselves for God, or for prayer, and prayers for God, as everything else should be. Is that right? Oh, yes. Then we make wudu. And with every step of wudu, we ought to be conscious that this is being performed with reverence for God, or in reverence for God, for God's sake, and for purifying myself cleaning myself. Wudu. Wudu is not only a washing, it is also a sign. A sign that tells us how enlightenment will come. But it has to begin first with an effort to clean out the unacceptable things from our lives. Yes. And then later God will bless us with the light, the enlightenment of wudu. And that's a great blessing. God will enlighten us. Actually, the word wudu itself is of a word which means to enlighten. To enlighten. After wudu, then we are ready for worship, for prayer, for that. Is that right? You know the meaning, there's a meaning in salat that means also to elevate. We say, Sallallahu alayhi, ala Muhammadin. May God exalt, elevate Prophet Muhammad to that station he promised him. Is that right? Yes. It's related to the same word, salat, salawat, salawat, salat, salli. So we come from purity, the washing, or enlightenment, to elevation, to elevation. Cleaning elevates us. And also enlightenment elevates us. So see, wudu has two meanings, cleaning and enlightening. And these are the two things that elevate us. Can you appreciate it? I don't know. Some of you can appreciate it. But when those true at heart get the message that what you're being taught here, They will appreciate it. They will appreciate it. They are not only in the States, they are all over the world. And when they hear what you are being taught, they are going to appreciate it. There's a saying, says, don't throw your pearls to the swine. But I like this one better. Cast your bread on the water, it will come back to you. I prefer that one. I would like for even the swine to appreciate the pearls. It is Allah that is guiding us. It is Allah that is opening up the understanding to us. It is Allah that is educating us. Believe it or not. We shall teach you, and you shall not forget. Illa ma sha Allah, except as Allah will. That was said to Prophet Muhammad, but it also applies to those who follow Prophet Muhammad and devote themselves to the preservation of the life that he established with the help of God. That God will not only guide you, will not only guide your faith and enlighten you through faith, but God will also teach you. يُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. God cautions you himself. God cautions you himself. This is in the Quran. يُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. God cautions you himself. That means every one of us have a conscience. And God cautions us through our conscience, as long as we will have a conscience. Is that right? The same God that has given every one of us a bit of his Ruach and cautions us through that bit of his Ruach, through our conscience, our goodness, that God has also said that he will raise up a Mu'allim, a teacher. And he told us how he teaches, that Nutriuka, if I say Ana Edri, that means I understand. So this is not just a teaching, for God says that he khalaqa al-insan, and then he's the one who allama al-insan. He created him and then he taught him. Is that right? Then later the word nutriuk means that he gives him understanding. He cautions us through our instincts, through our conscience. He teaches us through the prophet who gives the revelation. But he also teaches us through the signs of creation. So he taught through the signs of creation. He taught through by means of revelation. Is that right? Then he teaches by means of a teacher, a mu'allim. Then he teaches understanding. And no one gets the understanding except God will. And when he chooses to give you understanding, don't worry about what you forget. Whatever you forget is what he intends for you to forget. So let's understand these things. And let's wake up to knowledge and appreciate the graces of God. Because Allah has really shown great mercy on us. How many of you wanted to go where we are going? Only a few. Most of you wanted to go to black nationalism, to black power, to black divinity. You wanted to be a black divine. And to vengeance, get even with those who mistreated you, and self-image, self-esteem. But now look where we're going. We're going to God for his pleasure.
You have been listening to Mujahid Waris Deen Muhammad. For those of you who want to know more about the world community of Al-Islam in the
Monday, February 19th at the 369th Armory, 142nd and 5th Avenue at 1 p.m. See and hear in person Mujahid Waris Deen Muhammad.
A new day, a day when the people will be recognized and respected for what they are and treated equally. We have come to that day. I would betray all of my slave parents if I didn't appreciate this America and this change that have taken place here in this America.
America's ruin and rebirth. Don't miss this historic event. Monday, February 19th at 1 p.m. at the 369th Armory, 142nd and 5th Avenue. Hear the Mujahid speak.
We should look at America and cheer America and say America is more beautiful. With all of her apparent sin, she's more beautiful.
A new day has come. A new mind is here. Mujahid Waris Deen Muhammad has a message for you.
A message to your mind.
You've been listening to Imam Waris Deen Muhammad of the World Community of Al-Islam in the West. Tune in next week at this same time for the world broadcast of the Honorable Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
The concluding program was brought to you.